Psalm 118, take your outline out if you will, and also, if you don't have a Bible, you can reach in the pew rack in front of you there, take out the ESV, that's a version that we use, and you can follow along. If you don't own a Bible, just take that as our gift to you, and we're very glad you're with us today. Psalm 118, and by the way, I want to thank all of you for your generosity. You are a generous people, and we just thank the Lord for getting together to bless our community. Yesterday was huge. Joining together as Pastor David has networked wonderfully, is networking us with other organizations as well, but 800 families. And then last week was the biggest food pantry day we've ever had. 164 families came through last week. That topped the month before, which was the largest ever. We have, of course, the tags today and our one-day offering. We're thrilled. We are up now to over $62,000 in a single offering. That means over the last 3 years, we have given at over $190,000 on that one day a year to feed the poor around the world through Convoy of Hope. Aren't you thankful for that? Say praise God for that. Thank you for your generosity. Amen. And that's what it is all about. Psalm 118, I realize that we're going to read through the entire text. And for some of you, this will just kind of put you right into Pastor Jeff nap mode that you try to get weekly. But rather than that, I really want you to focus, and I want us to feel a psalm that is clearly a Thanksgiving psalm. All right? So everybody that's focused, say yes. All right, you're ready to go. And you hope the Arizona Cardinals continue a great season. Say yes. Always loses just a little bit. Thank you so much for your support. Verse 1. Oh! How many know that's an exclamative, right? All right. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever! Exclamation point. All right. This is to call us to thanksgiving. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That is a great verse for you to circle, highlight, keep in mind when you are in the midst where you feel you're losing in some way in your life. Honestly, if God is God and he's on the throne and he is good and his loving kindness endures forever, then what can man do to you? That's a great, great verse, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. As my helper, I shall look and triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, say it with me, I cut them off. Note repetition when you read the Bible. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endureth forever. Everybody said, amen. Isn't that a great psalm? If you're ever looking for one little verse here and there, verses to encourage you, verses to memorize, verses, look at a psalm like this. It is filled with things for us. This is known as the last of the six Hallel songs in the Psalms. And these were psalms that were used typically later. They were used at Passover season. Matter of fact, many believe that as we read in the Gospels that when Jesus and the disciples left that upper room where they had had that final Passover again during the Passover season, many believe that this is the psalm or one of the psalms that they sang, at least a portion of it, before they left. And typical of many psalms is the theme of thanksgiving. Verses number 1, verse number 29. It opens up with the same verse. Did you notice that? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. How many believe God is good? He is good. And what? His loving kindness, it endures forever. Would you say that with me? I'll read the first phrase. You say the second phrase. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let's do it again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Amen. Amen. It's easy to capture where the psalmist, the songwriter, was wanting to lead us to here. And as we read through this, obviously there's a sense that's very personal, especially a segment there that it seems to be a very individualistic and personal psalm. But in reality, this was really a song for the church or a song for Israel. It was a song for the congregation to all sing together of the goodness of God. And then we read near the end where it talks about the temple gates and where they were to enter in through those gates and enter in with thanksgiving their heart. There's a sense there of obviously a group of individuals, a group of people. That's why we call this a processional psalm. It's one of many that they believed that they would sing as they went to the temple. Various Bible headings will give it this title. It is a prayer of thanks for victory. It is a processional hymn for the Feast of Tabernacles. More on that later. It is a hymn of thanksgiving for the Savior of Israel. It is a liturgy of thanksgiving, meaning a customary repertoire of ideas and phrases to help us offer thanks. It is the psalmist thanking God for defeating Israel's enemies. And as I just took a step back and looked at this within the last few weeks, I kind of look at it like a funnel, that it starts really big, as I mentioned kind of earlier, in our worship and brought it all the way down, more individualistic. I kind of sense it that way. It begins very broad. The writer's saying that we thank God for his nature and his character. The word used there is the hesed of God, which is at the very root of God's dealing with man, that God gives loving kindness, that he is merciful, that God is so good to us, isn't he? His hesed was in the Old Testament. His hesed is in the New Testament. The same God who gave us his son, Jesus. So his loving kindness is so good to us. Then it moves to what God has done for Israel. And then many think that as you move a little further and all of a sudden we hear the me and the my and the I and those personal pronouns, that this is possibly the kingdom of Israel. And he is rejoicing in what God has done not only for the people, but in his own life. And he's leading the nation in thanksgiving. Or many believe it might be a worship leader. It may be the one leading them in procession as they're going to the temple, and he is speaking in his own life, but knowing everyone around them, they join with him in this procession of thanksgiving to God. However you view it, you pick it up about verse number 5, and we sense that personal nature. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me, and he set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? And that language continues for many verses. Down to verse 14, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. But then look at verse 15. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. So we've gone from this person relating to what God has done for him, but now we're going to the tents. And this is where we think possibly that this could be written for the Feast of Tabernacles. That was the last feast of the seven in Israel's annual feast. And the last one, they would typically then look back to the time of Moses leading them through the desert experience for 40 years. And so you would leave your house and you'd go and you'd build a little booth, as they call it, the Feast of Booths or the Feast of tabernacle. You'd build a little tabernacle, a little temporary structure, and you'd live there for the entire week to remember what your forefathers went through, to remember how God led them through the wilderness. How many of you know God was faithful to Israel under Moses' leadership? And God led them, though it was painful, though there was discipline, which is mentioned in this psalm, that is what they're celebrating here. And in the tense, he says, of the righteous, you're hearing the praises in song of salvation. He keeps on going kind of back and forth between the king and the people, or between the worship leader and those in the procession. Verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. Verse 20, this is the gate of the Lord, the righteous enter through it. So anyone who is righteous, the whole corporate body. So in the beginning, we have God in all of his mercy. He was so good. We have God then being so good in that he's delivered this person out of his distress and he's been merciful to him. And then you move a little bit further and we think possibly then as the procession is being led, it might be the king, it might be the worship leader, but it's a group of people and they're nearing what? They're entering the gates of the temple. I can picture as we have the ancient gates there in Jerusalem right now. Many of you have been there or you can Google it and look at it, but you see that centuries down in the line as you build the Temple Mount, century upon century, there are some old gates you can see. We don't see these gates naturally, but you see old gates all the way through to new gates even today that you enter into the Temple Mount area. That's the picture, the procession here. Open up those gates with thanksgiving. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter his courts with praise. How many of you ever sung that in the 1970s at church? Let me see your hand. And you're so glad we don't sing it anymore. Let me see your hand. It's in the key of F, and I'm glad that we don't sing it anymore. How about you? But it's a beautiful truth. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter his courts with praise. What will I do? I'll say, this is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Verse 22. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Kind of an interesting phrase in the midst of this. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes what God is doing. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So it's almost so broad, and now it's come all the way down to this day, to this moment, what God has done. And now I personally, with others, am glad to be entering into his gates, into his courts with praise right now. And interesting enough, the closing verses here are quoted many times, 12 times in the New Testament, just out of this little psalm, and we'll look at that a little bit later. But I think what we see here is a really good template for Thanksgiving. That's what it's called, a liturgy of sorts. And you know, Thanksgiving is one of the most fundamental acts of worship that we have. There is just something, I think, within us as human beings that we want to be thankful for, not only for what God has done, but a human response even to others, that we live thankful. The Bible says we are to be thankful. And it's not just on a Thursday that we set aside once a year as a nation and watch football and eat three different birds stuck in each other. But we beyond that, it's every Sunday, but it's not only just Sunday to Sunday that we do this. But how many of you know that really as a child of faith, the longer we serve God, the more thanksgiving is just a part of our worship. Whether it's us alone or whether it's when we gather together that we thank the Lord. So that's why we lift our hands often. We're just thanking and we're praising the Lord, worshiping him. It's why often in a small group you bow your head and you'll pray and some of the very first words will be, we thank you, Lord, for this day. I thought about it driving in this morning and I called my parents. I kind of cherish right now these years that we have, and I asked them to pray over the day, and so they pray for you every single week and they pray over me, and I noticed it this morning that there was Dad. His opening words, Lord, we thank you for this day. It's just what we do. It's just kind of a natural response, isn't it? It's second nature to the church. Beyond that, it's a good barometer, though, for where we're at in our lives, where we're at spiritually. Because grumbling and complaining or even a negativity can really never spring from a thankful heart. I mean, think about the two. They're incompatible. And so sometimes in life, we have to stop ourselves and often to make sure we're on the right track. Am I being thankful or am I grumbling? Am I being thankful and offering God praise for things in my life? Or am I being distracted by things that may be robbing me of my joy? It is a discipline because we have so much to thank God for, but it's also so easy to get distracted and to lose sight of thanksgiving. That is why we have this coming Thursday. How many of you would rather go to work Thursday than watch 3 games of football, eat turkey, and sleep? Let me see your hand. You'd rather work. All right, Austin, you're amazing, man. And we're going to open up the door. You can pray all day by yourself right here at this church if you'd like to. Just kidding. But no, why we set this day aside nationally, it's to remind us. It's a day of pause. Matter of fact, I challenge you then this Thursday, don't allow the distraction as much as I have no interest in sports myself. But for others here that do, don't allow it though to rob you from what the day is all about. So make sure around that table with family, with friends, or if it's just your little family together, or just what you yourself, offer thanksgiving. But you know what? It's not just for Thursday. It's every day of our life. It's a discipline. And many times we have to remind ourselves because maybe we're slipping out of thankfulness, we're slipping out of gratitude, and we're slipping into complaining and worrying and mumbling and grumbling, etc. Carl and I mentioned a few weeks ago that we were going through VHS tapes of the late 80s and early 90s. Carla had a different hairdo and wore makeup different. I mean, that's all I need to say. All right. And I had Kip glasses from the Napoleon Dynamite and a mustache. Looking pretty sharp. Some of you have seen those pictures. But as parents, you watch those, and it's kind of a mixed bag of goods, isn't it? Because part of you just delight in watching little Whitney, now a mother of two, 27 years of age, and there she was, just a toddler and just a baby. And I mean, we just kind of sat. And I looked over, and wouldn't you know it, Carla was robbing my joy with tears coming down her cheeks. But you kind of had that mix. Part of it you want. How many of you know part of it you don't want? Part of it you look back at, oh, you just miss those days. Part of it you're in wonderment and you can't even believe. Now you have 3 grandchildren that we're going to get to dedicate at Christmas time, which I can't wait, the 27th of December, right here, and that'll be fun. But you think your grandchildren are the ages of what your children were, and it's a blink of the eye. How many parents and grandparents know what I'm talking about this morning? But part of it, we came away and I said, honey, hasn't God been good to us? And we just sat there for just a moment, but it led us to gratitude, to think back at God's goodness. But the truth is, the longer you serve the Lord, the more thankful you should become. Seriously, it's a natural thing. Psalm 118 is like a template, like a liturgy for us. And it helps in some ways, not just give us reasons, but the how to offer thanks and to remind us, I think, today. And so if you've lost a little bit of that, I'd like to bring you back to it. Psalm 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Verse number 1. Verse number 29, same thing. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. That's what this psalm is all about. So how can we thank God? Well, first of all, use our own words. There's nothing wrong with us. Matter of fact, we do it on a regular basis as a church. Nothing wrong with you taking words of a song, taking words of a poet, nothing wrong with that at all, obviously. And we do it, and God is pleased with that, certainly. But you know what? God also wants you to use your own words to thank him. And sometimes you may grow a little bit lazy in this area. But note what he says in verses 2, 3, and 4. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron, so meaning the priesthood, let them say that the Lord and his love endures forever. And let those who fear the Lord say that his loving kindness or steadfast love endures forever. Bottom line is, say it. Let everyone say these words of how good God is. Let's say it. Okay. And you say it. That's kind of a phrase that I've heard a lot recently around our home. As Bentley was just starting to grow up now enough, and we're on FaceTime, and Carl and I are looking, and we're saying, well, you say it. You say it. And what do we want to hear? I want to hear Papa. Okay, most important words in the whole vocabulary of that little girl. And Nona, and Mama, and Dad. And then that vocabulary growing. But saying something, you say it. We've done that with Nash. Little Carmen Page we're concerned about because at like 3 months, she started gibberishing back, and she talks incessantly. How many of you would write down Cody and Michaela and just put dash prayer? Just, okay, keep that. Because I've told him, you got a long life ahead of you. She is talking like crazy in 4 months of age. Of course, she's a brilliant child. It's just amazing. But you know what's important? That we say it. That's what he's saying here. It's a songwriter. You can kind of feel him wanting to pull the nation with him or pull the congregation with him. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. But you say it, priesthood. You say it, Israel. Anybody who fears the Lord, you say it. You thank the Lord. You stop and think about what you have to thank God for. You choose to be thankful even in a season of grumbling or a season that you could easily slip from this. You keep remembering what God has done. Why? Because nothing means more to the heart of God than hearing us say, thank you, God. Thank you, Father, even in the midst of what we're going through. Jesus healed 10 lepers. It was the absolute worst scourge in the world on that day. And what did he do? But he noted that only one came back to thank him. It shows you that God wants us to articulate our thanksgiving. Second thing, another way that we can thank God is to remember his past goodness. And some here I know may say, well, when I look to the past, I don't like the past. And I have many, many times had that conversation. And I only want to go there for whatever the past represents. But let me encourage you today that in your past, if you have come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, then your today and your future is different than your past. That's one of the incredible aspects of becoming a follower of Jesus. Though you have a past, it looks different through the lens of Jesus Christ. Though no matter what has taken place, you can look at today and embrace tomorrow. You can look around you today, sing songs of praise with these of same faith that you have and rejoice in what God has done. Because the bottom line is every one of us here has things in our past that we don't like, that we're ashamed of, that we wish would not have happened. But you know what? We get today, and that's part of the heart of Thanksgiving here. We get today and we get tomorrow with Jesus. And how many of you know that means you've got a great future ahead of you? And so we thank him. It doesn't mean everything's always easy. Matter of fact, look at verse 18. He says, the Lord disciplined me severely. And yet he says, I'm still left standing. So he is saying, this man, personalizing it, has gone through a lot. How many of you know, though, God put Israel through a lot? So it could be a psalm for the nation that God disciplined severely, but Israel is still standing. It could be in a corporate sense. It could be an individual sense. But as we look at it, bottom line is he says, I am still alive, and God loves me, even though he has disciplined me, and I am looking forward to what I have ahead. Great is his faithfulness. And that's why many of our classic songs, wasn't that a great hymn we sang at the end, Have Thine Own Way, Lord? But so many of the great hymns, as we look at them, that they have to do with God's past faithfulness, what he has brought us through. So many of the psalms, what God had brought them through, like this psalm. So another way that he says we thank God is by putting our words into song. Our video series on Sunday nights has been phenomenal. I hate to see it. Tonight's night 10, and we'll be done, guys, for those of you that are part of it. About 100 men, and it's been a great journey. And Ted Roberts has been the primary speaker. He's now a pastor. He's a man's man. He was a fighter pilot, and he's interwoven his story a lot. And he's a man that had, he was just completely bound by pornography. It had just completely taken his life, so much from him, and God delivered him, saved him. It's just an incredible testimony. And now he's a pastor, and now his role, what he believes God has him on this earth for, is to see other men experience the same freedom he is experiencing. And that's what these Sunday nights partially has been all about. But he has shared his journey, and he brought it up a few weeks ago that he said, you don't want to hear me sing at all when it comes to a Sunday morning when we're together in church. But he said, when I'm in my car alone, he said, I just let it go, and I just worship God, and I just sing. And you know, there was a victory to that, and he said it's a part of spiritual warfare, and he gave us the principle on that, but he talked about singing praises to God, where you put your own praise in your own mouth. Look at verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my song. You have to make him your song. And you can sing other songs that we're singing, but it might even be your own song. It may never hit the charts. It may never even be copyrighted, but it's your song of praise. And that's what Ted Roberts does. He just sings praise to God for how good God has been. Verse 15, glad songs are in the tents of the wicked. What are they singing in the tents of the wicked? The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. See, it's putting the song of what God has done in your life into your heart of thanksgiving back to him and singing your praise and your thanks to him. It's been interesting commentary brought to me through the years, and I think I've mentioned this before, but for about 20 some years, I've had different ones come to me and say, you know, these new songs that we're doing, they're just so focused on us, on me or my and I. And years ago, I remember that it was as I was reading through Psalms that I made this realization. Then I come back with two questions. One is, have you ever really read the Psalms? And naturally, typically they'll say, well, of course I have. Well, I say, look for all the me, my, and I's in Psalms. It's filled with them. It's a songwriter telling what God has done for him. That's what Psalm even 118 does. But give it a look. Israel's book of songs, so much of it exalts God, but in turn of what God has done for me, what God has done for us. The other question I'll ask is, have you ever really stopped and examined the great hymns of the church? When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. 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 How many of you know that's awfully egocentric? No, it's not. It's saying, God, because of you, and we know the story, many of you know, the story was after shipwreck. Stories after the man has lost his wife and some of his children. And he is saying, it is still well with my soul because of you, God. So it's exalting God, but so much of the focus is on me. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. See, it's rejoiced in what God has done for me. Say it with me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. One of my favorites, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing, my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumph of his grace, my gracious Master, and my God assists me to proclaim. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease, his blood has made the foulest clean, his blood availed for me. See, so much of it has to do with what God has done for us, but can you hear the thanksgiving laced in those great hymns? Probably the greatest of all, huh? How great thou art. Verse 2, and when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Friends, worship is a horizontal or a vertical thing and a horizontal thing. We'll see in just a moment a horizontal nature to it. But you know what? It's vertical in that worship, whether it be in song, whether it be in you just taking hold of God's word, whether it be in your prayer life, whatever it is, it's you and God. And you know what? So much of it begins like this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord because he is so good to us. His loving kindness endures forever in our lives. A fourth way the writer says to thank God is to join with others. And this is actually at the heart. Again, this is a processional psalm. And so it's a thought of starting verse 19, really all the way. It's as if the king is out in front of the nation or the worship leaders out in front of the people and they're proceeding there to the temple. And what are they doing? But together, they're thanking God. Together, they're rejoicing. Why? Because there's a commonality between the worshipers. It's the one God, the one true God, the one Savior, the one who's given them victory. And so whether it be as a nation or whether it be as a group of individual people, just like here, this morning, we all subjectively can thank God for what he has done in our lives, but also do it thanking him for what he's done in and through all of our lives today. Aren't you glad for what God has done in everyone's life here this morning? And we rejoice together then. We may take different paths, But how many know the journey has the same destination, every one of us? It's Him one day. But there's something so special. I mean, you can worship God in your car, and you can have that private time, and you need to have all of those times. But isn't there something special when we come together, even just two or three, gather in His name, sing songs of praise, worship Him, and pray together? Verse 20, open up those gates so we can enter in. That's the picture of Psalm 118. For, verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, oh, we pray, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, we pray. Give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. It's corporate. It's us. It's joining with others and worshiping God and thanking him and asking of him. What a picture. Colossians 3, you know it well. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, it's important. It's important that we teach and preach in different settings, but I have a personal passion for people themselves to get in the Word of God. One reason for the Wednesday nights that we've just completed, and Pastor Mike came to us with the idea, I love the idea, and we borrowed from many of our wonderful professors here in the church to help us at least, if you can garner at least a little something from those Wednesday nights and apply it into your life of how you can read and study and know how to not just read, but even study, go further in God's word. That's just a desire that I have. Why? Because his word says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to the Lord. That's Paul, Colossians 3. Paul, Ephesians 5, two different churches. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, Paul put the two together. Singing and speaking the word of God, and both tempered with thankfulness, gratitude. When we worship in song, when we hear the word, there should be hearts that are thankful to the Lord, and we do it all together. Another way to thank God, take each day as a gift. Actually, this is a big one. It's a discipline. Because life bogs you down. Because life saps you of your joy, of your strength. It tears you down sometimes. It breaks you down. It drags you down. But get back up every morning. Every single morning, think of Jeremiah. It's amazing. We're quite sure it's Jeremiah's words, the book of Lamentations. It's in the midst of a major judgment. Jerusalem has fallen. I mean, they've been taken exile. It is an ugly, ugly time. And in the middle of it all, when Jeremiah is lamenting the very life that he lives, that God has allowed him to live, in the middle of it all, he says, but one thing that I'm going to remember, and it's this, that every single day of my life, there is new mercy for me when I get up in the morning. New mercy for me. And you may be going through the deepest of trials right now, but you know what? Lamentation speaks it, and here you can speak of it here. Here it is. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Jeremiah is using the very same word that the psalmist is using here. The steadfast love of the Lord. It's new every morning in your life. It is the chesed of God. It means God's mercy, his goodness, his loving kindness, his grace, how good God is to us. Every day. Here the psalmist says, if you want to keep a thankful heart, then every day say, this is the day the Lord has made. That's kind of how Carl and I, as we can look at those pictures and kind of move through seasons of life and look back upon them and say, you know what? God has been faithful every day, but we have to embrace now this day and know he's going to keep being faithful today, just like he was through all of those past days and hairdos and makeups and eyeglasses and all of that. Amen. God is faithful. So our liturgy today for thankfulness would be to use your own words, remember his past goodness, put your words into your own song, join in with others, take each day as a gift that he's given you, and don't miss the most important one. Celebrate Jesus in your life. Celebrate Jesus in your life. How many of you ever here just really have, I could use all kinds of adjectives, but we'll just say a really bad day. How many of you here ever have that? Man, 78 people. That's incredible. That's so neat. Rest of you are amazing. You amaze me. You astound me sometimes, seriously. Ooh, that sounded like Trump, didn't it? Astound. He uses that word a lot. Let's move on quickly or we'll lose everything here this morning. Do you ever have a really bad day? And the one thing you can hang on to, may not even be a friend, may not be even your own marriage partner, or just might be just a bad point, but you know what we always have is Jesus. We always have Jesus. We always, as Christ followers, have something so rich here that as we read it, see, we fail. And this was our teaching Wednesday night. Thank you, Dr. Fred Holton. What a wonderful teaching on applying the scriptures. Many times the Old Testament, how it was applied in the New Testament. Well, here you go. Buckle in. I'm only going to give you a few of them. But do you realize that Jesus came riding on a donkey the week of Passover, the week that he was going to go to the cross, and a group of people are there waving their palm branches because they're thinking, here comes our deliverer. Here comes our Messiah. So they're praising him. And what words are they saying? Did they just come up with them? No, no, no. They're saying Psalm 118, verse 26, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They know the psalm. It's a psalm connected to Passover. It's the week of Passover, and here comes Jesus. Little do they know, and some of them might have been in the crowd, that those palm branches would turn into crucify him, crucify him. But the way they welcomed him is they quoted this psalm, Psalm 118. In Peter's second sermon, chapter 2 of Acts is his first sermon, chapter 4 of Acts is his second sermon, and then again in 1 Peter chapter 2, he quotes this verse, verse 22, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. It's Jesus. Here in verses 19 and 20, we enter in through the gates of righteousness. How do we enter into a relationship with God? Jesus said that he is the gate and we as the sheep only can go through him. Others may climb in, but we go through the gate. We go through him. He called himself the gate of righteousness. And there was always, verse 27 here, to take that festal sacrifice with its cords. It's talking about the animal of sacrifice, that in all of the seven feasts, there'd be that moment of sacrifice, multiple sacrifices. But how many of you know Jesus is our one sacrifice? Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 10, 1 John chapter 2, over and over again, we come to communion and we thank God that he is our sacrifice. It's a picture over and over again. This psalm at the close is pointing us to the stone that they may have rejected, but he has become our cornerstone, the author, the perfecter of our faith. And this psalm is quoted 12 times accordingly in the New Testament. So there are all kinds of things that you have to thank God for today, but you know what? They pale in comparison to one, and that is that Jesus is a sacrifice for your sins. That the way we have eternal life is only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. And so take and bind the festal offering upon the altar. It's a picture of taking the body of Jesus, that precious body, and we move into Christmas time. We think incarnation. We rejoice and sing the lovely songs, and I love all of them, and we're already beginning to play them, and the lights are up, and the house is getting decorated white because we love this time of the year. But how many of you know it's Christmas because it's a cross? It's Christmas to get us that he would be our sacrifice. The meaning of incarnation is that God would come and live in flesh. And you talk about a righteous offering, he'd be the perfect sacrifice for every one of us here, no matter what we've done in our lives, no matter what our sin is. Jesus is big enough and perfect enough to pay for your sins. And everything you thank God for springs out of Jesus. Our physical and spiritual blessings, they're from him. Our material possessions and blessings, they're from him. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. All of the blessings of friendship and relationship, they come back to him. That you have a job today, that you can bless others today, that in just a moment we're able to come up and pick up these cards as Pastor Mike laid it out for us earlier, that we do this. Why? Because we have the greatest gift of all. That's how Paul phrased it to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, he is asking them to give. He's asking them to take tags. He's asking them to give an offering for the church back in Jerusalem where it all began, and they were in poverty and in a famine and they needed help. And as Paul asked that, he finally at the end says this, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, the gift of Jesus. So everything we're thankful for, it all is tied to the indescribable gift, and that's Jesus. Your shepherd, your savior, your king, your little baby born in Bethlehem, your sacrifice. Amen. Let's bow our heads together and close our eyes if you would today. If there would even be just three or four people here this morning that right now you realize that there's sin in your life. You've not asked God to forgive you, or maybe you're kind of playing a strange game with God in a sense of asking to forgive you, but you realize, boy, I'm really struggling the area of sin. You know, the Bible addresses all of that, but it always brings us back to Jesus. We are here in a psalm that is centuries before Jesus, but yet notice that it brought us to the point of Jesus. How did it do that? Because we look in the New Testament and they keep quoting those last verses talking about Jesus. It's prophetic, in other words. That's how the whole Bible is, actually. You start in the book of Genesis, and as you look forward, you just see it constantly pointing you to Jesus of the New Testament, because he's the answer. And he's what we have to be thankful for today. And I want you to know, you can leave here today. I'm thankful for this. It's not something I do or the church does or anybody else. There's no magic words, nothing like that. It is something that only God can do for you, and that's this. Only God can offer you eternal life through his son Jesus. You receive him and leave here a changed person. Only God can do that. But he wants to do that for you. And I am so thankful for that. So glad for what Jesus has done. Is there anyone here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, but you say, Jeff, I need to ask Christ into my heart and into my life. I know that I've sinned, and I want my sins to be forgiven. And even, boy, what a week to do it, the week of Thanksgiving, that you would turn your heart and open it up to Jesus to come in and to change you forever, forgive you of your sins. Maybe you say, I've done it before, but this to be a day of returning your heart to him. That's an image often used, that we like sheep tend to kind of stray away from the shepherd. But Jesus is the good shepherd, and why? Because he lays his life down for the sheep. There you have it again. It's throughout the Bible. He paid that price for you. Anyone here today, you'd say, I want to ask Jesus into my heart and my life. And you just put up your hand right now and put it down. But let me see it. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? You can put it down. I see that hand. Is there anyone else this morning? Right now, you just say, I want to open my heart to Jesus. Just hold it up long enough that I can see it. Thank the Lord for these or any others this morning right now. Say, I want to ask Jesus into my heart and my life. Want to forgive me my sins. Anyone else? I'll give you just a moment. But you sense some tugging at your heart, as a few in the early service, a couple in this service. Any more? Right now, you put up that hand. Anyone else? And let us pray with you. Aren't you thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Let's pray these words together. I'm going to invite us just to pray all together as a church. It's kind of our custom, is how we take this moment. I want to invite you that raised your hand, even if you didn't raise your hand this morning, but you say, Jeff, that's where I'm at, and I want him to come into my life, forgive me of my sins. Today is a very important day for you. Would you pray with us these words? Let's just pray it together. Oh God, thank you for Jesus. I offer you thanks, because without him, I'm stuck with my sin. But I believe he died on the cross, taking my sin, bearing my sins, being my sacrifice, and I put my faith in him. So please forgive me. Please cleanse me from the inside out. Change my heart today. Make me a new person that only you can do, as I believe in Jesus. Thank you for a great gift. I have eternal life in Jesus. Everybody said amen. Can we just take a moment? Just let that kind of sink in. Yeah, it's one of the things about gratitude, one of the reminders about gratitude, and I'm convinced we need a liturgy like this to remind us again, and that's what often those feasts were all about, to remind us of what God has done for us. Can you thank him that he is the Passover lamb, Paul later said, right? Jesus, the Passover lamb, centuries after Moses, but the picture of Jesus being offered for us. Thank you, Lord, for that, this Thanksgiving. And let's just right now determine in our hearts, we're going to be thankful through not only this week to Thursday, but for every day, every day. This is the day the Lord has made. We can rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Thank you, Lord, even though you disciplined us, that we come through it. Thank you, Lord, for everything the psalmist teaches us in this psalm. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness, his mercies endure forever. And we say, thank you, Lord. May we be thankful people today. Help us to practice the discipline of gratitude. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer today with us, right in front of you is there's a stack of those cards, and there's a little red one, red bannered card. If you would just take that out and fill it in and go back to the Connect counter right back here and let them know today is a day that you prayed that prayer to receive Christ. And someone will be there actually to pray with you. Would love to do that. At least you can just let them know. And we'd love to have a record of that. Let's stand together this morning. In response to all that God has given us, we want to bless them and give to others. And so we have the tags here. They begin, if you're kind of, you know, kind of have your prejudice toward, you love the older kids, 7th grade, 6th grade, here they are, all the way down to the little kindergartners down there, so oldest to youngest, and whatever you kind of age group you like, I want to encourage you to come, and let's bless our nearby schools, Weaver and Boyd and Pipkin. It's at least 3, might be 4, but 1,200 tags, and let's just be a blessing again. Thank you for your generosity. Doesn't it feel good? It's better to give than to receive, isn't it? And we received so much today. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you tonight. Prayer service at 6, prayer time in the prayer chapel at 5, and men's group, other electives going on 6 o'clock. But come forward now if you will. Let's just vacuum up these tags, all right? And have a great Thanksgiving. God bless you. We'll see you tonight. No service Wednesday night. Don't forget that. No Wednesday night this week. Bless you as you come.